put the notes on the website, and I try to add them to the description on YouTube before. Let's get right into the introduction. Last week in Lesson 169, we began looking at how Manuscript 98 might inform us regarding the question of printer errors in the AV, or the Authorized Version, the King James, same thing. It is commonly asserted by King James advocates that the only differences between the various editions of the AV are number one, spelling, number two, punctuation, and number three, printer errors. This position was illustrated by a series of citations from the pen of Dr. Peter S. Ruckman in the previous lesson. To ascertain the veracity of this position, two different categories of examples were identified for consideration in Lesson 169. Category one, when readings found in Manuscript 98 and the 1611 AV agree against later editions. That's what we talked about last time. And category two, when readings found in Manuscript 98 and later editions of the AV agree against the 1611. So that's the second category, and that's what we're going to be primarily looking at here today, and I'll explain as we get into this. Having considered Category 1 in Lesson 169, we concluded the following quote. In readings where Manuscript 98 and the 1611 AV agree against later wording changes, it is best to view these readings as the original intent of the translators rather than printer errors. In these cases, Manuscript 98 serves to confirm the choices of the translators as exhibited in the 1611. Put another way, unless the translators made the same mistake twice, once in Manuscript 98 and again in 1611, while accepting the other revisions of Manuscript 98 into the AV in the same verses, the most charitable interpretation of the evidence is to view the readings in this category as the intentional choices of the translators, not printer errors, okay? Now, that's what we covered last time. We looked at a bunch of different examples of where Manuscript 98 and the AV, and again, Manuscript 98, I'm talking about this document right here. If I can get my technology to cooperate, in the Lambeth Palace Library, I've shown you this image every week now for the last 4 or 5 weeks, okay? So in instances where this document agrees with a 1611, we are best to take that as an intentional choice, okay? What we're going to talk about today, why don't you guys mind shutting the back door for me? What we're going to talk about today is a different category. When this document agrees with a later printing of the King James against the 1611, that is category two, which we are going to be looking at here this morning, okay? This, of course, does not mean there were not printer errors in the text of the AV. In this lesson, we will consider Category 2 examples when readings found in Manuscript 98 and later editions of the AV, when readings found in Manuscript 98 and later editions of the AV agree against the 1611, okay? So, last week in Category 1, what we were looking at is it right to call all of these things printer errors? And I think I tried to demonstrate to you that it's not. Because there's two levels of intentionality then in Manuscript 98 and the 1611. Okay, what we're going to look at now is the opposite situation. When Manuscript 98 disagrees with the 1611, but agrees with a later edition. Okay, let's look at Category 2 examples. Dr. David Norton identifies this category in his 2005 book, A Textual History of the King James Bible, quote, the status of 12 readings. Now watch, where Manuscript 98 agrees with a later editor's change against the 1611 needs some consideration. After providing a table listing 12 Category 2 examples, all of which are discussed in this lesson, Dr. Norton begins by addressing some readings that he believes to be clear printer errors in the 1611. Please note that in the tables that follow, we have only noted / commented on the readings that are directly related to the topic at hand, i.e. discerning printer errors in the 1611. Put another way, we have not noted all of the revisions in each column as we did in previous lessons. So in previous lessons, if you go to page 2, in previous lessons, on page 2, I included every revision in a given reading or for a given verse. Okay, I have not done that this time. I have only focused in on those parts of the verse that we are considering here. Okay, so let's look at the first example, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. Okay, so here we have the 1602 bishops in the left column. The next column over, let's just go to the comments. I think this is the quickest way of doing this because we can just highlight everything.
So comments. Manuscript 98 adds the before Damascus, which is a revision of Damascus in the bishop. So that's right here. So this is originally underlined. Now I have it struck it. I have a strike through it because, as we're going to see in a second, it's not in the 1611. But they revised this, that it used to just say of Damascus, and then they say of the Damascenes. I don't know how you, whatever. Okay? The AV omits, so let me just, we'll start here again. Manuscript 98 adds the before Damascenes, which is a revision of Damascus in the bishop. So the bishops have of Damascus. Manuscript 98 said of Damascenes. Okay? Then look at the next column. The AV omits of the Damascenes from Manuscript 98, but then if we look at 1769, what is back in the text? Of the Damascenes, right? So here is the example.
Yes, so when in the bishops and the MS, it says governor of the people and then the governor of the nation.
Yeah, we're not, you're right, it does say that. But for our purposes in this lesson, we're only tracking with the changes that are in question here. But you're right, there are other changes that I have not identified. That's not my point in this particular lesson. We're only zeroing in on where the discrepancy occurs between the 1611, okay? So you'll notice, does manuscript 90 intentionally revise the bishops here? Yes. Does the King James 1611 inexplicably leave out the phrase of the Damascenes? Does that phrase show up later on? Okay? The 1769 adds the phrase back into the verse. So let's look at the commentary underneath that. Since manuscript 98 intentionally revised the bishop's phrase, city of Damascus, to the city of the Damascenes, I know I'm saying that wrong, but whatever, you get the point. It appears that the omission of the phrase from the 1611 is in fact a printer error. The corresponding phrase in Greek is found in the Greek original. The error was corrected in the 1629 revision of the AV text. In this case, a comparison between manuscript 98 and a later edition can help one confirm the omission in the 1611 was an oversight by the king's printer. So, everybody see the difference here. Here we have the phrase in manuscript 98, then it's inexplicably left out, and then it's put back in. Okay? So, it would seem that in a case like this, that this is in fact a printer error where? In the 1611. Mike?
It's not just left out, it's replaced with the phrase, the city with a garrison.
Well, that's added.
Instead of the city of the Damascenes, it's now the city of the garrison. I don't know how that got in there.
Right.
And that's
well, garrison is here. So this phrase would have fit right there. Because it still says the city of, this phrase of would have fit right there, which would have made it be the same.
Which indicates to me that this is in fact what? This is in fact a printer error, right? Did the printer leave that phrase out? Okay? Everybody see what I'm saying here?
So, Mike, if you take the phrase and insert it back in, of the Damascenes with a garrison, it would read exactly the way this does, as far as I can tell.
The thing that bothers me is this, with the garrison is not in the Greek. You know, when you look at the comparison, I don't know, it's just strange that that's popped in there. In the 1611, and it isn't in Manuscript 98.
I will agree. There does seem to be some additional. You're right. That phrase is not in Manuscript 98 for sure. Unless I made a mistake, which I will check. So we need to make a note of that. Then I'll check that. Can you note, Sylvia? I need to check that column. All right. Let's go to the next one. 1 Corinthians 15:6. Okay. So. We'll go to the comments. Manuscript 98 moves the opening bishop's clause after that forward. So what are we talking about? We're talking about right here.
see, the bishops had what phrase? After that, manuscript 98 had what? After that, the AV has what? And that. Okay? So manuscript 98 moves the opening bishop's clause after that forward. The 1611 AV then changes after that to and that. So you see how after that, and then all of a sudden, and that. And then in the 1769, it's back to what? After that, okay? So the 1611 then changes after that to and that. The 1616 edition of the AV reinstated the reading found in manuscript 98 after that, which became the standard reading. So this would seem to me, therefore, to be a clear example of a what? A printer error. They put the wrong letters in there, right? Because, and notice how when you compare manuscript 98 with the later revision in this case, it's pretty clear that this probably should have been what? After that. Okay, so let's look at the statement here on page 3. Professor Norton states the following about this example quote. 1611 begins 1 Corinthians 15:6 and that. Manuscript 98 and other translations except for the readings giving the reading reintroduced in the 1611 after that, this translates the Greek, which also begins at the next verse, is given there as after that by 1611. 1611's mistranslation looks like a printer error, as if the printer's eyes had skipped back to a similar beginning on the previous verse, verse 5. This is indeed what happened is confirmed by the verse being misnumbered, verse 5. Manuscript 98 is not essential for this identification, for the identification of this error, but again, it helps to confirm it by showing that the translator's first thought was to retain the 1602 reading. So their first thought is to keep what? After that, okay? Then all of a sudden the 1611 says, and that, then they switch it in 1616 back to what? So it would seem that this is a clear identification of a spot where the printer did what? Made a mistake. Okay, did not set the type appropriately. Let's look at the next one, which is Romans 14:6. Okay, so I'm on the comments column here. The AV departs from both the bishops and manuscript 98 in reading a day in the first clause instead of the day. This is awkward since later in the same verse, the 1611 reads the day. So let's look at what we're talking about here. Okay? So look at the 1602 bishops, this first clause. See how it says, he that esteemeth the day. Everybody see that? Then you have manuscript 98, he that regardeth the day. So again, there's a change there from esteemeth to regardeth, but does it still say the day in manuscript 98? Then we come to the AD, he that regardeth a day. When manuscript 98 and the 1602 both had what? The day, and then the 1769 switches it back to he that regardeth what? The day. Alright, now in the same verse, if you drop down, in the same verse, here we have, here's the 1611. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day. So you see how a day and the day don't seem to jive, okay? Yet if you go to manuscript 98, it's the day and the day, they do jive. What he's saying is that here is an obvious example of a place where the printer just did what? Goofed, okay? Let's read the rest of this. The 1602 edition, so I'm in this column on the far right. The 1602 edition corrected the error by reinstating the day back into the text. This, top page 4, this became the standard reading. So what I'm trying to get you to see here is when you look at this and you compare manuscript 98 with the 1611 and a later edition, does it become clear where there's probably a printer error? Okay? Is everybody following me? Dr. Norton explains this example from Romans 14:6 as follows. Another example of error, or possible error, underlines the limitations of manuscript 98 as evidence.
16:11 reads strangely at Romans 14:6, he that regardeth a day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth he not regard it. The oddness lies in regardeth a day followed by regardeth the day. Manuscript 98 shows that in the first stage of their work, the translators intended to retain the 1602's original the day at the beginning. The 1629 restored this reading. Had manuscript 98 given the 1611's reading a day, it would have shown clearly that the translators themselves had made the change. But by preserving the literal, reading, it does no more than narrow down when the problem occurred. Either the translators made this change in their final revisions, or it is a printer's error. Because the same Greek occurs later in the verse and is there given as the day in the 1611, there is reason to judge that there is a printer's error. An appeal to Tyndale, who gives one day in both places, merely complicates. A day has much the same sense as one day, so it may be intentional. However, the second use needs to be the same as the first to make decent sense. The translators could have intended to use a day in both places. In this case, the printed text is still wrong, but in a different place. In this verse, there probably is a printer's error, so the 1602 Bishop's Bible, Manuscript 98's, and 1629's reading should be followed. By itself, Manuscript 98 is not crucial to this judgment. But is it helping us to see that there's probably a printer error here? Okay? Is everybody following us? The same phenomenon is observable in these additional examples provided by Dr. Norton. So there's a bunch now just in a table that we're going to go through pretty quick here. Okay? So the first one is 1 Corinthians 7:32. So let's look at it. Went too far. 1 Corinthians 7:32. Okay? Starting here. The bishops in manuscript 98 both read belong, whereas the 1611 reads belongeth. Belong, so what are we talking about? Talking about right here. Okay? So belong, then all of a sudden belongeth in the 1611, and then back to what? Belong. Belong was restored in the 1612 edition and became the standard reading. So, I mean, it seems like they just put the ETH on the end when they didn't really want to. I mean, is this changing anything this verse is saying? No, but it does seem like there is a potential printer error in that verse. Let's look at another one in 1 Timothy 1:4. Okay? The bishops in manuscript 98 both read godly edifying. The AV omits godly. So what are we talking about? We're talking about right here. You see the bishops have godly edifying. Manuscript 98 has godly edifying. Then all of a sudden the 1611 just has what? Edifying, and then is it restored back to godly edifying. Alright? So the AV omits godly. Theos, the Greek word for God, appears in the verse. The reading godly was restored in 1638 and became the standard reading. So is there a corresponding word for God in the underlying language here, the word theos, which would be godly, edifying? Okay? So it seems, in fact, like a word here was accidentally what? Left out by the printer. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The bishops in manuscript 98 both read this seal in this verse. So what are we talking about here? Right here, having this seal, bishops, manuscript 98 having this seal, and then 1611 all of a sudden having the what? The seal. And then 1769 restores this seal. So let's go through the comments here. Manuscript 98, the bishops in manuscript 98 both read this seal in this verse. The 1611 reads the seal. The 1769 edition restored the reading this seal, which became the standard reading. So, there's no reason to think that they intended to say what? The seal. It's this seal, all of a sudden this, and then they realize that was probably what?
printer.
Okay. James 5:2. James 5:2. Keep going too fast here. All right. Manuscript 98 moved the bishop's reading, "are moth-eaten," forward. Okay? So here's what we're talking about. Your garments are moth-eaten. Manuscript 98, your garments are moth-eaten. 1611, your garments moth-eaten. Not what word's missing?
Are.
1769 adds the R back in. Okay, so let's look at the comments. Manuscript 98 moves the bishop's reading, "are moth-eaten," forward. The 1611 omits the word "are." The 1638 edition reinstated "are," which became the standard reading. Seems like a very clear example of a what? Of a printer error. And then the last one we'll look at here before we move on is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, going to the comments. Manuscript 98 and the final, Manuscript 98 revises the final clause of the bishops to read, "all evil speaking." Okay? So what are we talking about here? This part right here. The end of the verse is revised in Manuscript 98 intentionally by the translator to say, "all evil speaking." Everybody see that? But if you come over here to the 1611 column, what word's missing? All. So here's where you need to think. Does the 1611 move forward evil speaking, which was revised in Manuscript 98? Evil speaking. They said all evil speaking in Manuscript 98. They move forward to evil speaking. What did they forget to move forward? The all. Okay? So this would seem like just an oversight on the part of the printer. So the 1611 accepts the revisions of Manuscript 98, but omits the word "all" in front of evil speaking. The 1629 edition added the word "all" back into the verse, thereby establishing the standard reading. So what Manuscript 98 helps us to be able to do, guys, is it helps us to be able to see in a physical, tangible way what the original intentions of the translators are. This helps us to identify what is probably a printer error from what might be their intentional what? Choice. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? Okay, so the five examples in the preceding table demonstrate that sometimes Manuscript 98 can assist us in identifying true printer errors within the 1611 text. Many times when Manuscript 98 agrees with the 1602 bishops and a later printing of the AV text against the 1611, we are safe in concluding that there was indeed a printer error in the 1611 text. But is this true in every case? I'm going to say to you that it's not, and then we're going to look at some of the more difficult ones next. But before we do, does anybody have any questions? Look, guys, you got to realize that what this document is allowing us to do is look into their process in real time. So when we see a discrepancy between what they said here and what was printed, we have to look into, well, why is there a discrepancy? Is it because they intentionally further revised the text, or because there's just a typo error or a printer error on the part of the king's printer who typeset the Bible? Okay? And sometimes it could go either way. Any questions about that? Okay. No questions? So, bottom of page 6. Caution regarding category 2 readings. We've already shown in lesson 168 that sometimes revisions to the bishop's text marked in manuscript 98 were reversed in the AV, thereby reinstating the original bishop's reading. Please recall the following examples from Romans 1. So I've just reproduced the two examples of this category from Romans 1. So let's look at Romans 1:14 again. Okay? Notice, we'll just go track the comments here. Manuscript 98 inserted the word "a" before "debtor." So here's the bishops, no "a." Manuscript 98 inserts what? "A." The bishop's "barbarous" is changed to "barbarians" in Manuscript 98 following the Geneva Bible. So here is "barbarous" in the 1602, changed to "barbarians" in Manuscript 98.
the in the bishops is struck from the end of the verse, omitted in manuscript 98. Everybody with me so far? Okay? The AV retains barbarous, or barbarian, excuse me, from manuscript 98, but otherwise reinstated the bishop's reading by dropping the A and adding the to the back into the verse before unwise at the end of the verse. So look at what's going on here, alright? So in their first level work, do they add an A? Do they change barbarians to barbarous? And do they strike to the from manuscript 98? But now when we look at the AV, we see that do they omit what they did here? Do they undo the A, the addition of the A, reinstating the bishop's reading? And do they retain the change of barbarous to barbarians, but then do they reinstate the end of the reading to the at the end of the verse from the bishops? So this is an example where manuscript 98 has made revisions, but then in the AV have they gone back and undone some of those revisions and reinstated what the bishops originally had?
Yeah.
You following that? Is everybody following that?
So look at one more example of this in verse 20.
Why did they change the B to a capital B on barbarians?
Just capitalization.
It really is an adjective, isn't it?
All words like this were capitalized back then.
Oh, okay.
So it's really a, you know, English practice of the day to capitalize a word like that. And it obviously wasn't before, and it probably isn't anymore. Okay? In fact, if you look in a 1769, it's probably not capitalized, would be my guess. Somebody check that. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, is barbarians.
It is capitalized.
It is still capitalized? Okay. So let's look at Romans 1:20.
Tracking the comments here.
I don't have it capitalized in mind.
Uh-oh. One of you doesn't have it.
What weird edition do you have?
One of you doesn't have the real Word of God.
Probably will.
All right. Romans 1:20, let's track the changes on this example, okay? Manuscript 98 drops his from the first clause of the bishops and changes it to the. So here's what we're talking about. For his invisible things, manuscript 98 changes it to for the invisible things of him. Alright? Most of the verse is rewritten in manuscript 98. So all this underlining here in this column indicates wording changes in manuscript 98 compared against what? The 1602 bishops, right? But then look at the last thing here. The AV makes further revisions to manuscript 98. Much of the original wording of the bishops is reinstated at the end of the verse. So all this part right here, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse in the AV, that's the same that was over here. His eternal power and Godhead so that they are without excuse was the reading in the 1602. In manuscript 98, had they changed a bunch of that wording. But now in the King James, in the 1611, do they reinstate at the last end of that verse a lot of the original bishop's reading? When they originally thought they should what? Revise it. Okay? So why am I showing you this? I'm showing you this for this reason. Okay? Manuscript 98 is not the end. It's the middle of the road dipstick. It's like sticking the dipstick in the middle of the process and checking to see what they're doing. The 1611 is like sticking the dipstick in at the end and checking to see what they're doing. So can you check what they had in the middle against what they had at the end? And in doing that, is it clear that they rethought some of their original choices that they recorded in manuscript 98 and reinstated some of the bishop's reading in some of the verses. Okay, and so we talked about that before. So, this means then, bottom of page 7, this means that one cannot just assume that every time the conditions of a Category 2 reading are met, that they are automatically looking at a printer error in the 1611 AB. There could be other factors in play that would explain the discrepancy between the emendations found in manuscript 98 and the 1611 text. Please consider the following examples from Romans 7:13 along
with Dr. Norton's commentary. Okay, now, let me just go to page 8 and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Look at the comments.
So this is Romans 7:13. The 16:11 AV changes then that as in the bishops and manuscript 98 to that then. Right here. Yes.
Why is that wrong?
Eleven changes that then as in the bishops and manuscript. Okay, so I read that wrong. That's why I'm confused. Something is off here. These two should be the same in agreement with this, and I messed something up, I think, on this example. It's always great when I do that. We'll try to work our way through this, though. Maybe I didn't, and I just think I did, because I've done that before, too. So let's just go through it and see, okay? So I'm up here in the comments column. The 1611 AV changes then that, as in the bishops, and manuscript 98, to that then. So then that would mean I'm wrong in the bishops column. So those words should be flipped in the bishop's column. The 1612 edition reversed the wording, thereby establishing the standard reading. So we're talking about a difference between then that versus that then. So a transposed order of what? Words. Okay? According to Dr. Norton, Romans 7:13 serves as a somewhat cautionary tale against placing too much weight upon manuscript 98 in determining what is a printer error and what is not. Quote, in another case, manuscript 98 complicates without clarifying, and the limitations of using the evidence of an intermediate draft are again shown. Romans 7:13 begins alike in the 1602 and no. That's right. My comment's wrong. I need to just fix this whole thing. This whole one, just circle it and saying I have a brain fart on this one and need to... Well, let's read what he says. I know what he says isn't wrong because I copied and pasted it. So I didn't type it wrong. If it's wrong, it's because he did it wrong, not me. Then that follows the order of the Greek. So let me start over. In another case, manuscript 98 complicates without clarifying, and the limitations of using the evidence of an intermediate draft are again shown. Romans 7:13 begins alike in the 1602 and the 1611. Was that then? That then refers to the order of the Greek. The 1612 quatros followed by 1616, 1629, and all subsequent editions reverse the order. Was then that, which is manuscript 98's reading. Both readings are possible. The 1611 is closest to the Greek, but it is difficult to make a stylistic judgment between the two. Unless we can take manuscript 98 as confirming that the 1612 reading was the translator's intended, the 1611 reading must be taken as deliberate. We cannot take manuscript 98 in this way because it is not the translator's final version. Rather, it suggests possibilities. Either the translators made a change and then unmade it, or they failed to notice a change that they had made in preparing the final copy. Or the scribe copied incorrectly, or the printer set the text incorrectly. There may have been an error of transmission, but the 1611's reading has to be taken as the translator's preface. Preference. Okay? Now, you could dispute that. You could disagree with that if you want to. I don't really find this is the greatest example for Norton to use, actually. I think there are some better ones that we're going to get to here in a second.
But put another way, here's what you should take from that. Sometimes the text of the 1611 differs from manuscript 98 because it was the choice of the translators to further revise the reading at a later stage of the work after the production of manuscript 98. Well, we already know that from looking at the examples on the previous page from Romans chapter 1 verse 14 and Romans chapter 1 verse 20, where they clearly revised manuscript 98 after producing it and reinstated in those cases some of the original bishop's readings. Okay? So, put another way, sometimes the text of the 1611 differs from manuscript 98 because it was the choice of the translators to further revise the reading in later stages of the work after the production of manuscript 98. Therefore, one cannot always assume that a discrepancy between the 1611 and a later revision of the AV, even when the revision happens to match manuscript 98, is automatically a printer error. Just because a later revision happens to match manuscript 98 does not automatically mean we're looking at a what? A printer error. You could be looking at a choice the translators made to further revise manuscript 98 after it was produced. Again, manuscript 98 is the middle of the road dipstick for the epistles. The middle of the process. The end of the road process is what? The 1611. Is everybody with me? I know this can get confusing. I hope you're with me. All right. Please consider the following three examples. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Okay? So we'll go straight to the comment column. There are multiple levels of revision visible as one works their way from left to right. Here, we will focus on the following. Helpers, comma, governors in the bishops is revised to read helps, comma, governments in manuscript 98. So let's look at that, okay? What are we talking about? Right here. Here's the bishops, helpers, comma, governors. Manuscript 98 revises that to say helps, comma, what? Governments. Does everybody see that? Okay? The 1611, in the 1611 AV, the clause reads helps in governments. Right here. Helps in governments. So, the bishops in manuscript 98 had helps, comma, governments. The 1611 has helps in governments. Now, this one is a little bit of a thorny issue here, okay? Because helps, comma, governments, is that saying those are two different things? Helps in governments is suggesting that the two are what? Related to each other or modifying each other in some way. So the 1611 has helps in governments, and then if you look at, so the 1611 AV, in the 1611 AV, the clause reads helps in governments. Manuscript 98's reading of helps, comma, governments was reinstated in 1629 and became the standard reading. So the standard reading is now helps, comma, what? Government. So the question then is this a printer error? Okay? Now, I don't have to explain to you why this is going to be a bit of a thorny issue here, okay? So let's look at this. While this verse meets the criteria for a Category 2 reading, for Category 2, i.e., the reading in Manuscript 98, and the later editions of the AV agree against the 1611, does this automatically equal a printer error in the 1611? Dr. Norton states the following regarding this perplexing question. Okay, so let's make sure we understand. So does this meet the qualifications of Category 2? Does Manuscript 98 and a later edition of the AV agree against the 1611? Manuscript 98 has helps, comma, governments. The 1769 has helps, comma, governments. The 1611 had helps in what? Governments. So, is this a printer error? The inclination is going to be to say yes. So look at this.
A printer error in which case? The 1611?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the inclination, right, to say that's a printer error. The 1629, so I'm on the bottom of page 9. 1629 equals manuscript 98. So what that means is
the 1629, where this is made, we have 1769 up, it's the same reading. The Helps and Governments is equaling manuscript 98. That also had Helps and Governments, right? Okay, read on. Though this reading is difficult to account for, it is not easily dismissed as a printer error. Manuscript 98 shows change to the bishops. Boyce's notes show that the verse came under further scrutiny or further notice. Okay? So we're still trying to figure out, is that intentional in the 1611 or not? Go to top of page 10. As suggested by Dr. Norton, the notes of John Boyce indicate that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 came under further scrutiny at the general meeting at Stationer's Hall during the final stage of the translation process. Boyce's notes record an entry for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29 that reads as follows. So the IBID is just a reference to the same chapter. So this is chapter 12, verse 29. He's commenting on powers and authorities. Now watch. Abstract for the concrete, and thus perhaps helps in the preceding verse. Now there's Greek in there, and you have to think about what you're reading here. But what Boyce's notes are saying is, did this verse come under further scrutiny at the final revision? At the general meeting, at the last stage, when John Boyce is taking notes, do these two verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, come under further scrutiny at the final revision? Does he make a comment about a connection between what's going on in verse 29 with what was going on in verse 28 in the preceding verse at the word helps, which is precisely where we have the discrepancy? You following this? Okay? The notes of Boyce, working in conjunction with manuscript 98 and the AV of 1611, highlight that the text, so I'm on the next point, highlight that the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, came under direct scrutiny at the general meeting at precisely the same place that a variant reading occurs in the printed history of the King James text. Therefore, based upon the surviving primary work-in-progress documents, one ought not to be too quick to call the 1611 reading a printer error. There is documentary evidence to suggest this verse was revised by the general meeting after the production of manuscript 98 by the Second Westminster Company, but before the publication of the AV in 1611. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm just going to be honest with you, this one here is the only one I found where I'm like, I don't know what to do about that.
Depends on how you interpret the Greek, I guess.
Depends on how you interpret the Greek, and it depends on how you interpret the evidence. Here's what I know. This is indisputable. Did they change it, manuscript 98, in the middle of the road dipstick? Mm-hmm. Yep. Is it different in the final product of 1611? Is Helps and Governments different from Helps and Governments? Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end of the line, did this verse and that Greek word translated Helps come up for discussion and scrutiny at the final revision, at the final committee meeting at Stationer's Hall, and John Boyce took notes on it? So, I'm not sure what to do about that, right? And I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter. In the end, maybe they're substantively the same. But here's one that I honestly, truly, I'm not sure what to do with it, if I'm being honest. Okay? Because it's a discrepancy, and then you add the other layer of documentary evidence, and the second layer of documentary evidence, the notes of John Boyce say that exact word, translated helps, come up for further scrutiny in the general meeting. At the end of the process. So they could have done what? Change that. Put another way, there's documentary evidence to suggest that the 1611's reading may have been intentional despite Manuscript 98 agreeing with a later revision, 1629, against the 1611. Dr. Norton further elaborates. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 is particularly problematic. Here, Manuscript 98 has the literal reading that was introduced in 1629, helps common governments. 1611, uniquely and apparently without justification for the Greek, reads, help, without justification from the Greek, reads, helps in governments. That Manuscript 98 differs from the 1602's, helps common governments, confirms that the 1629 reading follows the translator's first thoughts. The problem is to determine whether they had second thoughts or whether the printer accidentally or deliberately changed their work. Boyce's notes prove that the translators thought further during the final revision. He notes, talking about the Greek word, in the next verse, abstract for the concrete, and thus perhaps in the preceding verse. Perhaps this thought produced helps in governments. Rather than explaining the reading, the note confirms that one must always presume that in the absence of clear evidence to the contrary, one must take the 1611 text as deliberate. However dubious the reading here may seem, it should stand. So what does Norton believe about it? He believes that they intended to say what?
Helps
in governments. Okay? Now, for the record, I don't know that I'm saying I agree with him about that, because it could go either way, but he is saying that there is evidence to suggest that it might not have been a printer error and it might have been intentional. Is everybody following that? So let's look at the next one. This next one to me is more clear. 1 Corinthians 13:2. See lesson 168 for a discussion of all the revisions in this verse. So I'm in this comments here, okay? In this lesson, we are concerned about the end of the verse. The bishops, manuscript 98, and the 1769 all agree that not charity should be the reading instead of no charity as in the 1611. So I mentioned this to you before. All right. So here's what we're talking about here.
Bishops had not charity. Manuscript 98 had not charity. The 1611 has no charity, and the not charity reading is reinstated in the 1769. Okay.
And by the way, it went all the way from 1611 until the 1769 before it was changed from no to what? Not. Okay. So, on the surface, it is understandable why someone would see the omission of the letter T as a printer error in the 1611. But there is also a very real possibility that the reading no charity is the intentional choice of the translators. First of all, the 1611 accepts the three revisions made to the verse that are cataloged in Manuscript 98. So the other revisions of Manuscript 98 that are cataloged there are accepted into the 1611. Alright? Second, setting aside the no charity found in the 1611, two other later stage revisions to Manuscript 98 are accepted into the AV. Number one, Manuscript 98's secrets has become mysteries. And second, the word could is added to the 1611's text when it was not in Manuscript 98. If these two later stage revisions were intentional alterations to the text after the production of Manuscript 98, why could the reading no charity not have been as well? Is everybody following that reasoning? Rule 14 called for the Bishop's Bible to be revised. This is Tyndall's, Matthew's, Coverdale's, Wick Church's, which is the Great Bible, Geneva, when they, quote, agree better with the text of the original than the bishops. It just so happens that three of the Bibles identified in Rule 14, Tyndall, Matthew's, and the Great Bible, all read no charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. Consequently, one cannot just assume that the reading no charity in the 1611 is a printer error and not the intentional choice of the translators. We know from comparing a 1602 bishops, manuscript 98, and the 1611 that the translators revised 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, beyond the changes marked in manuscript 98 after its production. At a later stage in the revision, the translators could have elected to utilize an earlier reading of Tyndale, Matthews, and Whitchurch at the end of the verse. The 1611 reading stood until the revision of 1769 by Paris at Cambridge University, when it was changed to read not charity. Either way, the substantive doctrinal content of the verse is not altered by either reading. But are there some times where you cannot just look at it and say, oh, that's a printer error? That there may be very clear evidence to suggest that that was intentional. Okay? And then finally we have Jude 25. Now I've made two videos online about this, but I included it here because it fits. So let's go to the table and start reading the comments column. In addition to revising the first clause, manuscript 98 inserted the word both at the end of the verse. Okay, so let's look at this. So here's the bishops. Do they almost totally rewrite the first clause of the verse in manuscript 98? Okay? And then they also at the end insert what word here? Both. Okay? So I'll leave that up. The 1611 accepted the revisions to the first clause recorded in manuscript 98, but omitted the word bold at the end, thereby reinstating the original bishop's reading. So, let's look at it. Do they accept all these underlined revisions here in manuscript 98, do they accept them into the AV? Mm-hmm. Accept which one? Both. Both is omitted. When both is omitted here, does it agree with the reading of the bishops? You guys following that? The 1638 edition added the word both back into the text, thereby establishing the standard reading. So it would be easy to say, based upon manuscript 98, that the omission of both in the 1611 was a printer error. Is this the case? Recall from lessons 167 and 168 that we observed a category of revision in which the bishop's text was amended in manuscript 98 only to have the original bishop's reading reinstated in the 1611. We already looked at two examples, right? In Romans chapter 1 verse 14 and Romans chapter 1 verse 20. This is what seems to have occurred in Jude verse 25. I think we should not be too quick to call this a printer error. Recall the wording of rule 1. Quote, the ordinary Bible read in the church, commonly called the bishop's Bible, to be followed and as little altered as the truth of the original will what? Permit. Okay? The form of the original text that held the most sway over the translational choices of the King James translators was the 1598 Greek New Testament of Theodore Bazin. Irina Backus does an excellent job demonstrating this in her 1980 publication, The Reformed Roots of the English New Testament, The Influence of Theodore Bazin on the English New Testament. Both, the English word in question in this case, is a translation of the Greek conjunction key. There is a textual variant in Beza's 1598 Greek New Testament in that it only contains three occurrences of key in Jude 25, whereas other editions, such as Stephanus's 1550, has four occurrences of key. Consider the following image of the Stephanus text, okay? So open your Bible to Jude verse 25 while we do this. It's probably going to be the best way for you to see this, okay? Your standard 1769. So what I've done is I've included the English here, right? So it's key. Mike, looks like we're going to make this.
Surprise.
Look at verse 25. Jude verse 25. To the only wise God our Savior, be glory, what's the next word? And. So here's the first and. Be glory,
and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and what? And ever, right? So in the Sophonisk Greek, everybody look up here, there are four keys. And, both, and. So when you're looking at your Bible, your 1769 King James Bible, here are the corresponding keys. And, so this would be the and, glory and, dominion and, power, both, key, now and ever. Does everybody see that? So are there four keys in the Sophonisk Greek? Are there four conjunctions in the 1769? And, both, and, right? Notice how the word key occurs four times in the verse. In the above table, so the table above, sorry, let me start that over again. Notice how the word key occurs four times in the verse. In the table above, three times, the King James translators rendered key as and in manuscript 98, and once as both. The insertion of both in manuscript 98 corresponds with the third key in the Sophonisk text and the Geneva Bible, which was based on Sophonisk. So that would be this construction right here, okay? And both what? And, okay? Later in the process, after the production of manuscript 98, the translators removed both from Jude 25 based upon the influence of Theodore Beza's 1598 text due to the omission of the corresponding key. So here's Beza's text. This is a screenshot from his actual printed text from 1598. You'll notice, and, what's missing? The both. So there's a text variant between Stephanus's Greek and this edition of the Beza's Greek of 1598. Okay? Let's look at the next point. The omission of both in the 1611 reinstated the original 1602 bishop's reading. In doing so, it brought the reading into agreement with Tyndall, Coverdale, Matthews, and the Great Bible, all of which omit both in from Jude verse 25. Therefore, even though manuscript 98 agrees with the 1638 revision of the AV against the 1611 and Jude 25, there is strong evidence to suggest that the omission of both was the intentional choice of the translators and not a printer error. The omission of both not only coheres with the 1598 Beza's in Greek, but it also coheres with, what did I say? Tyndall, Coverdale, Matthews, and the Great Bible, all of which also did not have what? Both. So is there a strong argument to be made that they intentionally decided later on in the process that they didn't need the word both in there? Okay? So, conclusion. Often, when readings found in manuscript 98 and later editions of the AV agree against the 1611, a printer error has probably occurred, but this is not true in every case. Sometimes readings that might seem off at first blush were in fact the intentional choices of the translators. Caution is therefore advisable in dismissing every variant reading as a printer error. So let me just say what I think about all of this, okay? I agree in principle with Norton that I don't think we can say every time that's a printer error. I think you have to look at the preponderance of the evidence. In many of these cases, could they have, we know that they did revise their work after they created manuscript 98. We've seen that time and time and time again. We know that sometimes after they created manuscript 98, they revised it back to what the bishops originally had. We've seen examples of that. So, in my mind, we need to take all of the evidence into account and make a choice. Sometimes is it plainly obvious that it was a printer error? But we can't say, I don't think, that it's automatically the case. Some of these things need to be investigated further. Okay? So in the next lesson, so this is going to conclude our look at manuscript 98. Okay? We've done like four or five lessons on this. We're going to conclude our look at manuscript 98. And next Sunday, we're going to start looking at another document
called BOD 1602, which is the Bishop's Bible, the 1602 Bishop's Bible with the handwritten notes of the translators in the margin, where they're actually revising the Bishop's text right on the pages of a 1602 Bishop's Bible. Okay? The reason we did Manuscript 98 first is because it sits halfway. The work found in BOD 1602, the Annotated Bishop's Bible, is believed to represent different stages of the company work as they went through there, and we will talk about those things in due course. Okay, but next week we're going to start looking at BOD 1602. So, does anybody have any questions or comments? Let me just tell you, in all the stuff I've looked at, no charity, not charity. Both now and ever, now and ever. None of those are changing the substantive content of what the text says. The substantive doctrinal content of the text does not change. Okay? The only one that I'm not, the only one that is just that one bugaboo to me is that one there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And don't get mad at me for pointing out a textual fact in the printed history of the text. Okay? If you want to write me emails and comment bomb this YouTube video and all that stuff about that, go ahead and do it if you want to. But at the end of the day, Manuscript 98 makes a change, and the notes of John Boyce record that same verse at that same word came back up under scrutiny at the final part of the process. So I'm not sure what to do about that one, but... The rest of them, I don't see any real substantive problem with any of the things that I've looked at. That's just me being honest. Any questions or comments? Mike, did you have something?
Well, like you say, it's just different ways of saying the same thing in the end. That's the bottom line. But Manuscript 98 is a recommendation. You have to keep that in mind. It's not intended to be the final.
Correct. It's that middle
recommendation.
It's that middle of the road dipstick.
Yep, for sure. It's not the final word. The final word, in my mind, would be the product of 1611. And here's somebody asked me in a comment, and here's my what we have to understand too about the final product is that's the consensus of all the men that worked on it. That's the consensus view. This person pointed out to me, and it wasn't that I didn't know it, but they accented it. Are there examples of the translators among themselves not necessarily agreeing sometimes about how something should read? There are examples of that, particularly in the notes of Boyce, when they did not always agree with each other about how something should read. So the way we need to view the King James Bible is the consensus work of all 48 to 52 men over a massive period of time going through all sorts of checks, rechecking. And Manuscript 98 is an absolutely indispensable tool in helping us see the work. But as Mike just said, it is not the final word. It is a middle of the road, middle of the process, stick your toe in the water to see what's going on. Knowing that after that were further changes made. All the way up to and including the final revision
of the general meeting. Yeah, Bart?
When there's disagreement like that, was there a vote on it or was there just a person that made a decision?
We don't know. We don't have any surviving evidence or witness that would suggest we don't know. I wish we did. But we do know that individually, they did not always see eye to eye on how things should read. So we should view the final product as the consensus of all of them. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, you can come to a consensus without every individual necessarily that being their preference choice. Okay? So, that being said, we need to quit, and we always somehow go over time no matter how early we start.